Good evening, and welcome to the Cycles of Change radio program. I'm your host, coming to you live this May 9th, 2013, as I do every Thursday night at 8 p.m. New York time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Tonight, we're going to be speaking with the return of Leslie Botha on her newly released book, Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle. Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle was written for women who want to understand the sometimes confusing physical and psychological changes they experience each month. It is also suggested reading for men who deal with hormonal women daily, and for educators, healthcare, and social welfare professionals who support women of all ages that are struggling with physical and behavioral issues caused by hormonal changes. It is the product of 9 years of research, analysis, and writing, richly illustrated. This pioneering book is co-authored by Leslie Carol Botha, our guest tonight, and H. Sandra Chevalier Botic, with original graphics by Nicholas Botic. The graphics on this book are absolutely astounding. Medical researcher H. Sandra Chevalier Botic provides extensive clinical background to support the findings of this book. The conversational writing style makes it easy and compelling to read, while the richly footnoted text makes this a valuable resource for professional healthcare providers. The book explores on the very essence of a woman's being, the fundamental natures of the female hormone cycle, and was written to fill the void of practical menstrual health education that focuses on understanding the delicate mind-body connection, a connection that has the power to bring about the health or disease in the body. Contrary to current medical thinking, pharmaceutical industry messaging that encourages women to deny, ignore, suppress, and replace their natural hormone production with synthetic hormone birth control and hormone replacement therapy, Botha and Chevalier Botic believe that the hormone cycle is the foundation of a woman's health and well-being. Modern medicine has promoted the concept of specialization, encouraging women to consult specialists to treat isolated aspects of our body and mind, rather than consider our body as an integrated system and exploring the relationship of the hormonal cycle with other cycling systems in our body. So important, because when you understand the cycles that are going on within yourself, and you understand yourself in general, so better will you be to understand the intrinsic nature of people that you meet, and also to understand the rhythms and the cycles of nature and society around you. That's my comment for tonight's guest, but I want you all to welcome the return of Leslie Carol Botha on Understanding Your Mood, Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle. Leslie, are you there?
I am, David. Thank you for that lovely introduction. Happy New Moon, everyone.
New moon it is, and let us not forget the celestial bodies around us, because they influence us as well as our own internal rhythms.
And that is so very true, and that's why you and I have been colleagues for so many years now. We both understand, as well as many more of us, that cycles rule this universe. And the one thing that has happened for women over years, and over especially the last 40 or 50 years with the advent of the birth control pill, is that we have been denied this cycle. We've been told to deny it, suppress it, reject it. You don't need it. And now we are suffering the after effects of menstrual suppression. When I first started writing this book, Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle, which, by the way, is available on Amazon as a workbook, and we're very proud of it, everyone was so pill happy. Mm. They didn't want to buy into it at all. And so I just kind of stayed in the background, raising my hand, going, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. And then all of a sudden, everyone started questioning the birth control pill, especially in the 2001, 2002, I believe, hormone studies from the Women's Health Institute. It is the new moon. Energy is low. But when they realized that the risks outweighed the benefits for hormone replacement therapy, it took 30 years to get an independent study done on hormone replacement therapy. And they just halted the trials, bada bing, bada boom. And for many of us who have been concerned about synthetic hormone use for 10, 20, 15, you know, years, whatever it is, I mean, we feel that birth control, synthetic birth control, is really the largest uncontrolled medical experiment ever conducted.
Unfortunately, it's usually after we begin using a new invention and we have the problems with it that we understand the ill effects of it, the cigarettes or what have you, or the use of asbestos in industry as a heat insulator. And it's unfortunate. I wish we could have a little bit of forward projection, but thanks to the research of people like you, we can understand things a little bit better. What is the main thrust in your book, Leslie? What is the main message that you have as you outreach to other women and men who need to understand women more?
Well, boy, that's a loaded question.
Next question.
I think for women, the message in the book is your hormone cycle is really the foundation of your health and well-being. And if you buy into the message to reject it, you're going to open yourself up to a myriad of problems, and that is indeed what we are seeing. The more research, David, I do on this, mm-hmm. and I see, and I'm getting this from other sites and from research and documents and studies, is that really we have made up a slew of diseases, mm-hmm. created new labels, created new medications, and ignored the root cause, and that root cause is hormone imbalance. In fact, I have a post that I recently did on shared on my blog holyhormones.com on hypothyroidism, and if you follow that post and go to the site where I got it from, which was Hypothyroidism Mom, she says that there are over 300 diseases linked to hypothyroidism. We have taken and created 300 more diseases when the root cause is hypothyroidism. Oh. People do not get how important endocrine health is, and this goes for men and for women. But
wow.
Why? So that's why women should be writing this book, because a lot of times we're over-diagnosed and over-medicated. And we're missing the root cause, really, of what is going on with us. And that really, David, and you will relate to this as a natural cycle researcher, is not living with circadian rhythms, not living with endocrine rhythms. The
right.
entire endocrine system, which starts with the pineal gland in the brain, that is the external communicator. It picks up electrical frequencies from our environment, from our universe, and then that travels all the way down through the nervous system, through the neuroendocrine immune system, all the way down to our genitals. But it affects and is transmitted through every cell of the body along the way. Every cell in our body has a circadian rhythm.
So we have an antenna that is tapping into the rhythms without us, and they're influencing the rhythms within us.
Truly, just as what you are writing about on your wonderful blog, and how all of these things are predictable, and how integral they are, the emotional, the intellectual, the physical. It's all related. Everything is everything.
Yes, everything is truly interconnected. And when we try to isolate a problem, we don't understand it because we don't realize the context that it's in. So it's pretty much a 20th century medical practice to treat the symptom without understanding the cause. And it's a current practice now to medicate everything. And that's why I'm so interested in leaders like you who are emerging to tell us that maybe millions, nay, billions of years of evolution in nature might have got something right. And maybe what we have isn't smarter than the very nature that created us. And
you know,
I'm a little bit concerned with over-medicating. And if we learn to go, the example I like to give is a very simple example. If you're going to sail from New York to London, you wouldn't sail in a straight line. You would navigate the ocean currents and the trade winds. You're going to get there a better trip, and you'll get there faster. And yet, when we're navigating the experience of our own lives, we are willing to suppress the natural rhythms of our own bodies, even when we know that cycles make the world go round. And medicate and make pharmaceutical companies richer while we are creating all kinds of disturbances, neuroses, and inventing diseases, as you said. But you have really, you're giving support for women to understand themselves and to say, hey, maybe if I'm not walking a straight line, the line isn't right. Maybe we're supposed to move in rhythm.
Oh, boy, that was brilliant. And really, and that is why, I'll tell you, because we don't understand this rhythm, that is why women don't have a sense of womankind, because we change throughout the menstrual cycle. We change throughout the menopause cycle. We change throughout the puberty cycle. We are go through three phases every single month of our life, and that is maiden, mother, and wise woman. And I call that female mystique, the three phases of Eve, and that's in this book. And if women get that part, they got it made. It's a home run for them, because what happens is they can start understanding and trusting themselves instead of feeling like they have to control their image, control their weight, control their acne, control their behaviors, control their moods, control what they have to say. That's how women go through life. And it's, and we get so run down by it. But when you understand the integral phases, three phases, the triphasic goddess, if you will, the phases that we go through every single month, from birth to death, all becomes crystal clear, and it's very empowering. Now, you asked the question a while back, why is this book so important for men? Because men desperately want to understand the women in their lives. They don't get it. You see the books that are written, what men know about women, and you got 1,000 blank pages. All right, we've done each other a huge disservice by not educating either males or females about endocrine health.
Absolutely.
Because that is what rules, and that is what governs our behavior. It all starts in the brain and affects everything else.
Absolutely. And you're bringing this understanding to light, you know, through your in-depth research, from your own empathy, and you're helping to instill sympathy in those who can understand this. We're coming from times in the world where it's very dominated by masculine energy, which was to control and to use force. And these things are good when used in moderation. But at the same time in the world, there was a low of feminine energy, the emotional cycle, which meant that there was a less cooperation, there was less understanding and less compassion. And what's happening now as we're emerging in the world with a change of world cycles, there's actually a reversal where you're going to see in this coming century very much a rise of feminine energy in the world, such as you're seeing the liberation of gender slavery as found in Middle Eastern states that are going through the Arab Spring, and also the women's liberation movement in China, and also a rise of just more emotional intelligence. What a wonderful term that is. And you are truly a leader in this, because before this broke ground and started to become the emerging world trend, you were doing your research, and you're coming onto the scene with years of this right now when people are ready to hear it. I think there's a bit of synchronicity there, speaking of cycles. And this book is for everyone, isn't it, Leslie? It's for everyone to read.
This book really is for everyone. For women, it is everything you were never taught about the importance, the fundamental nature of your endocrine system and your hormone cycle and menstruation. In fact, what I love about this book, and there are so many things I love about this book, and my co-author H. Sandra Chevalier Baddock and her husband Nicholas Baddock have done such a great honor with their contributions to this book, with Sandra's writing and Nicholas's original graphics.
Yes.
Cover everything from the brain, the endocrine system, tying this into natural cycles, and then well, we cover birth control too, but really what I'm getting at is then we take this all the way back to original artifacts found 250,000 BC when women were tracking and their menstrual cycle, etching their menstrual cycle into antler bones, into rocks, into soft rock. And they were comparing that, and they were also etching the lunar cycle.
Mm.
This was knowledge that created cultures and societies for a millennium, that people lived with natural cycles. Rosalind Miles wrote in her brilliant book, The Women's History of the World, that because of this understanding, that women were the first healers, they were the first astrologers, they were the first astronomers, they were the first economists, they were the first mathematicians, they were the first agriculturalists, because they understood the power of cycles. So I want to put out to your readers now, or your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the new moon. We know that. Most people don't even know where the moon is, but I'll tell you what you do know. You're exhausted. You've been exhausted for the better part of this past week and still trudging along going, oh, I'm exhausted. Guess what, folks? It has been the waning moon. Today is the new moon. There is no collective energy to be found.
Mm-hmm.
As the moon starts rising in the sky, and we're going to see a little sliver, silver sliver, in the next 2 to 3 days, you're going to feel that energy rise. And then when that energy rises, we're good to go and move mountains for the next 2 to 3 weeks, a week past the full moon, when then the energy declines again. That's how it's going to be. That is how it is. I can tell you what, you didn't get the phone call this week you were hoping for. You didn't get the papers this week you were waiting on. And your emails have slowed down to a trickle. And that's just how it is, and it's going to pick up next week. That's exactly how a woman's menstrual cycle is.
Well, you certainly described some of the elements of my past week relative to weeks before. And if we can identify with the examples that you make and then realize that there's a universal pattern happening in all things within and without us. That was amazing, that the discovery of biorhythms that told us there's a physical, an emotional, and an intellectual cycle within us. Well, the first thing we started to apply this for was the physical cycle, you know, for training in sports. And they said when you're on a physical high, you can run that extra lap or press a couple of more pounds or something like that. But when you're in a physical low, they would advise don't take on anything new, only maintain levels that you've attained at the best and wait for the next physical high. And after that, we began to understand how this works on things for emotional and for academic matters of learning for the intellectual cycle. And so if we can begin to understand that in the more gross level, we can understand it a little bit more on the subtle level and realize that sometimes some of these rhythms coming to us are from without, such as the obvious case of the moon, and sometimes they're coming from within, whether they're the biorhythms of our birth or whether there is the semi-periodicity of the hormonal fluctuations that are happening in women mostly and in men too on a continuing basis. We should listen to these messages a little bit more. Maybe we'll move a little bit wiser and a little bit better than if we try to plod in a straight line. Isn't that true, Leslie?
There's a time to give and there's a time to receive. It is in the Bible. And that is what that phrase means. There is a time to go out and move mountains and give of your heart.
I'm so excited that we now have a way of understanding a little bit. As I was saying, it's the first word in your book of understanding your mind, mood, and hormone. And that's really where it begins, right from just how you feel, how you interact with others, how groups are formed, and even international relations. If we understand each other a little bit more, maybe we can move a little bit better. Now, your book just very recently became available on Amazon, as you were mentioning. Isn't that true, Leslie?
Yes, David, and I really appreciate the review that you put on my book, and it was so brilliant that you were able to take the time and read it with your with your very busy schedule, and then put together a review. And it was great to get your email the other day that said someone read your review and ordered my book. I'm so grateful to you.
Yeah, and I have no concerns that they're going to be unhappy that they got that book based on my review. I've not given many reviews on Amazon, by the way, but I happen to be a fan on Cycles and a fan of your work ever since we met some years ago when I was working for a Cycles Research Group, as you were, and in New Mexico, you came from Colorado for a conference or two there. And I knew how very well you respected you were by everyone in the organization. And when I had the chance to meet with you and hear a presentation that you gave there, I began to realize the importance of your work and how true it is. I mean, we can study cycles and look at the population of lemmings, and we can look at economic cycles, and they're all interconnected, as we've come to find out. But it becomes particularly interesting when we find out how it relates to our lives and how we can apply it to understanding ourselves and others. And you've been writing this, you've been researching this some 9 years, haven't you, Leslie?
Yes, it has been quite a while. And, you know, we were going to go to press, maybe a few years ago, and then I started working for an addiction recovery ranch. And an addiction recovery ranch in Colorado that uses holistic therapies to treat addiction with a great deal of success. And one of those therapies is nutrition directed to the brain, and the other is neurofeedback. And I saw miracles take place, but I was able to attend neuroscience webinars, conferences, and I called my co-author and I said, stop the presses. Wait, there's a whole body of information here that we have to include in this book. And so we have used information from many different sources to talk about how important the brain is in all of this. And really, folks, you're going to get this. The brain is the motherboard. It really is. And as I mentioned before, and David has mentioned, we have over-medicated because we have invented so many diseases when really what is happening is that we've got too many toxins crossing the blood-brain barrier, and we're undernutrited. We are not getting the nutrients from our foods that we did even 20 years ago. We are bringing generations of kids into the world now that don't even know what a cucumber is. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration. But, I mean, they're so used to eating processed foods and microwave foods, really are not aware of the importance of eating live foods. And as a result, and not that even live foods have that many nutrients anymore because the soil is so depleted, but none of us are aware of how important nutrition is for vital functioning. And so we kind of sort of accept the fact when we get sick, when it really stems from the brain. And it just sort of keeps internalizing until we just have all these pathological breakdowns, and then our body is just irreparable. We say, oh, that's old age. It's not old age.
Not at all.
I mean, 1% of people die of a natural death. Death is a transition into the next cycle, right, David?
And, it certainly is.
And we're going in, I mean, we're just dying from... and actually now Alzheimer's and neurological diseases have way outpaced cancers, which is really frightening. And I just posted an article on Facebook about how many more kids are being born in the world with neurodevelopmental problems than ever before. These are serious issues, folks. And I know I'm digressing a little bit from the topic of understanding your mind, mood, and hormone cycle, but let's get to the mind part of it. If we don't start nutrating and supplementing what our brain needs, we're not going to have a mind. There, I guess I brought it around okay, huh, David?
Well, you certainly did, because it's really understanding the nature of ourselves and the nature around us, because when we are at the same time that we're suppressing the own messages and the rhythms within our bodies, we're not recognizing the world in which we live. And the world of nature does have seasons, and it has changing of the moon, and we have celestial influence on us. and wise we would be to move with it. But instead, what we've found is that we've come from an era of man against nature. And in the process of doing that, we've done things such as even dam the Nile. And for centuries, thousands of years, these cyclical floods of the Nile used to enrich the land with nutrients on the soil so that the farmers could plant their crops. That's why that region of the world became the leader at one time, because they were able to build a great civilization working with the natures and farming with it. Then the machine age sort of said, let's cut down all of the trees, let's poison rivers, and let's have nuclear waste as long as we can have a good quarterly bottom line and make our profits. And we dammed the Nile to have a power plant, and because that would make good profits, a cheaper way to produce electricity. And so what is happening within us is happening around us. So now, as you mentioned, we're not getting the nutrients. We've discovered that when we have overprocessed foods and we have overbleached flour, that sometimes what's happening to us is not necessarily just the foods with the lack of nutrition, but also the additives in there too are giving us polyps in our intestines. We're having all kinds of problems. It's creating cancers and so forth. And so we go on treating that without going to the source. You are going to the source of what are we? What is the world in which we live? What is our place in the world? And to understand that, if we're going to understand what the book of Ecclesiastes is telling us, we really have to know that we are creatures of a world of rhythms, moving in rhythm ourselves. That's why I value your work.
Well, thank you very much. And here's another part of it. And that is, as we said before, there's a time to give and there's a time to receive. What is that receiving part? It's healing. It's regenerating so that we can go out and give again. So what the other aspect to all of that is that we go through 50 years of our lives, all right, giving, 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 going, going, going. We're like the ever-ready battery that when the battery runs out, we just kind of keel right over. Boom, bada-bing. And, you know, that's what a heart attack is. You know, it's a body just gives out. You know, when people retire, they're done. That's why hysterectomies are like the number one or two, well, it's the number one surgery for women, because our entire reproductive years, we're not honoring that. Slowing down. When we hit the paramenstruum, which is the premenstrual phase, and the time of menstruation, our hormone levels drop, our immune system becomes more compromised, and we just feel more fatigued, just like we do during the waning moon, all right? It is not a defect in our character. It is biochemical. It is what it is. Now, if women learn to use that energy, they can be so very effective. In fact, if you really start researching it, which you haven't, but I have in my book, so another reason to buy my book, is that there's been a lot of fear around this whole issue of this white goddess and dark goddess, if you will. Hmm. Women have been taught to be afraid of this dark side of themselves, and they go into their doctors with all these complaints, and he hands out Valium and Prozac, and I call it the take two Valium and go home honey syndrome. All right, but we don't acknowledge, this is what happens. It's a man's world. I'm not going there. We all know that. It's testosterone driven. Women are like trying to hold on with a tightrope, and because we're cycling beings. And while we're going the day after day, ever ready bunny type of thing. And so it comes to a point where we just get so run down, and we can do this act for about 3 weeks. We're really good at it. We've got the multitasking going. We're taking the kids. We're taking my husband. We're balancing jobs. We're transporting everyone everywhere. We're doing the shopping, blah, blah, blah. And that fourth week is like falling off a 40-foot cliff onto jagged rocks.
Mm.
And if we keep going and going and going like that and trying to push through that phase, we get into big problems. In fact, it really shouldn't be falling off the cliff. Oh, a severe hormone balance is indicative of that. It should be just a nice slow down and then a rise up on the other side, just like watching the waves come in and out of shore, or just taking that very gentle roller coaster ride, not the wild ones, but you go down and you go up and you go down and you go up, and there's a nice rhythm and dance to that. But when we just keep pushing through for 30, 40 years of our lives, we get into a lot of problems. Now, the very sad thing is, and I'm hearing from hundreds of women all of the time. I even have medical professionals, women who are reaching out to me now because they're so disgusted with their practice. You add in the synthetic hormones, which is causing the suppression of hormones in the brain and in the ovaries, and women are being flipped back and forth between estrogen birth control and progestin birth control. Estrogen birth control and progestin. It's like a ping pong. And the body doesn't know, the brain doesn't know what to be producing and what not to be producing. And then they go into their doctors and they say, oh, well, I'll make an appointment with you with your psychiatrist. And they'll put you on some psychotropics. That's what's going on with women these days. And, you know, I've said this before on your show, David. I liken women to be the nucleus of the atom. And the men and children are the electrons and the protons. And when that nucleus of the atom is whacked out, children and men are whacked out as well. And that's where we're at.
Very much so. And so for women to realize themselves, they've got to be able to understand their own feminine nature, which has not been supported in our recent culture of the machine age of keeping the trains running on time, of maintaining the rat race, of fitting the mold, keeping the machine going. And it seems that a lot we have is people putting power outside of themselves. And when we put power outside of themselves, we rely on medication in order to normalize whatever seems to be inconsistent with what the dissonance of our pressure around us would tell us it should be. And yet, what is demanded upon us is something that changes with region, culture, and time. And few of us are really rising above the situation we're in right now to realize that this is pretty much the times that we have been in. These are the times that we're coming from. And this is the machine age that brought us many miracles, but also caused great destruction to Mother Earth and to Mother Human. You're giving a bit of support and understanding that sometimes instead of metering everything that we judge the world and ourselves by looking outside, that sometimes we need to just go within, because within us are the internal rhythms. Within us is the innate wisdom, and that which with we are born, that we need to listen to that as well. Am I right about that, Leslie?
And that is so very true. We really need to combine right brain, left brain here. The intuitive with the, well, just let's go
cerebral.
Back to right brain. Thank you. Thank you. That works. All right. And we need to include women in the world. I mean, really. Women are not included. Our history is not included. We've been demonized. We've been sexualized. We've been victimized. Look what happened to those three young women that escaped after 10 years of bondage. This is what happens when you have an imbalance in power, where one sex feels that they can dominate or control or own another sex. And yet, that has been the dominating thought for hundreds and hundreds of years. And to a point where men can grab innocent women off the street and hold them in bondage for their own sexual desire. That is, I mean, classic objectification of women. And you look at the media, and women are portrayed as sex objects. And then we're told to use femcare products and hide everything, anything that is bodily about us. That damages a woman's psyche to no end, and it keeps her victimized. You know, I've been developing this curriculum called My Body But My Power as an adjunct to my book for at-risk adolescent girls. And really, I have found in all of my research and in my studies is that victimization of women comes from the first shaming of women. And that happens at puberty, at menarche, when a woman first gets her menstrual period, when there are places still in this world today that women are banned and shunned to menstrual huts as soon as they start menstruating. What does that do to an adolescent girl?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Every
As
month.
If something were wrong.
Right. And it is wrong. They're unclean. They're impure. I found a study from 2001 on the National Institute on Health website, National Institute of Health website, PubMed.gov. Everyone knows that. And the very basic tenets of preventive obstetric gynecology, and this was a study done in 2001 European Journal of Obstetrics, the very basic tenets of the development of preventive obstetric gynecology are based on the tenets of menstruation as not translated, but interpreted in the Bible. And those tenets are impure and unclean. And that is how women's those are the founding blocks of gynecological care for women. Well, gynecological care is only for women, so I'll backtrack on that one. But that is the foundation of gynecological care, impure and unclean. That's a hell of a hill that women face and are facing at a very, very early, early age, which leads them into shaming and victimization at an early, early age.
And as we are understanding or not understanding ourselves, so do we build our civilizations. You mentioned this has been going on for centuries. And any culture that suppresses its feminine aspects are prone to cruelty. And I believe that this has led to more war, more territorial gain, power and dominance, and everything like that. Suppression of minority rights and just acts of cruelty on the individual level. This has been going on for centuries, as you mentioned, but believe it or not, in the great cycles of time, this has not always been our way. When you look back at the ancient Hindu culture of India, a very emotionally based region of the world, and in many parts of it, an intellectually based region of the world, I believe, is that there is a place, I don't recall the name of it, but there is a stream that comes from the mountain and emerges from an underground source and flows where it's considered a sacred stream. Yet, because of different rainfalls in the rainy season and so forth, yearly at spring, the tributaries towards this spring will come from another source underground, which has a lot of iron deposit, and the water runs red in the springtime. And what they're saying is that, well, this we honor the spring because this is not only telling us about the cycles of life, but we believe that this is also like a fractal representation of the woman's menstrual cycle. And here we have a mirror of this in nature. And so what they do is they embrace the cycles of nature to help understand, because they're seeing themselves not conquering nature, but as part of it. And so when you look at their studies of Kal, which is time, and Kalpa, which is cycles, and the development of the yugas, which are the great ages and so forth, even greater than the astrological ages, we realize that the times in which we live haven't always been this way. And sometimes it's very physical and masculine. Sometimes it's very emotional and feminine. And if it's intellectual, it's neither masculine nor feminine, because intelligence is neither in both. But we're coming out of a very physical time, and we are emerging in these next two centuries, well, actually, a very feminine time, which means that we're going into a new age of romanticism, a new age burgeoning of the arts, an increased emotional intelligence, increased intuition.
You had mentioned that for hundreds of years, we have been suppressing women in our culture, and this is absolutely true. And as we, right before we got cut off, I was mentioning that this hasn't always been the case. When you go back thousands of years ago and you look at the writings of ancient Sanskrit, you're going to see that we worship the feminine aspect as well as the masculine aspect, and represent that even in the deifications of the Supreme Being, where we have goddesses and gods as well. But in the last centuries, it has been a very male-dominated society, and we say that, well, we're getting into religion a little bit, but we say that even God has a gender, and that gender is male. And we're told that Adam gave birth to Eve, so he even took the birth away from women in our storytelling and so forth. So with that being the case, these things do change, and they change with cycles. And ironically, understanding cycles themselves is what helps us understand the nature within and without. And it very much is a feminine aspect to understand cycles, as well as an intellectual aspect. And that's what your book is telling us here, much more so than has been the conventional thought. So we are over-medicating, are we not, Leslie? And we're inducing neurosis in women when we're telling them that walking this particular path is not right, when we're not understanding that there are fluctuations within us. So this has had a profound effect on health of so many people, hasn't it?
It has an effect on our health, but I wanted to go back to what you were saying about how profound this is, and how, you know, this whole shift is happening, so that we are entering a time of more feminine and more women's and contributions. We better, because women are dying off. And let me give you a couple of facts. One is that one in every three women in the world right now is going to be sexually assaulted, raped, abused. Well, sexually assaulted and raped are about the same thing. But one in three women will be abused. That is 3 billion women, people in the world. 1 billion women are going to be abused in their lifetime. The other fact is that your listeners need to know that over the last 4 or 5 decades, over 200 million women have disappeared. Disappeared. And that is more than all of the wars combined with the Holocaust. And yet nobody is raising a cry. Very few people are raising a cry. On February 14th of this year, there was V-Day. Eve Ensler has been putting together V-Day for the longest time to end violence against women. And people all over the world were doing flash mobs and dancing done to a prearranged choreography. And they were doing them in India, in South America, all over America, in hundreds of places around the world, calling out for a cry to end violence against women. There's a great Native American proverb that I also talk about that we need to be listening to and listening to now. A nation is not defeated until the hearts of its women are on the ground. And we are getting pretty damn close to that being true.
We had gotten close to that, and I do believe that we're swaying away from that as the pendulum swings both ways. But that saying is very true. And the Native Americans, as they did have a lot of wisdom. You know, a lot of people don't understand that because of the hard-fought wars between the European invasion and the nations here of Native Americans, that there was very much, in many of the cultures, there was an integration of both the masculine and the feminine. Example, if the warriors wanted to go to war, they would have to go and meet in a council. And for many tribes, the war would not happen unless the women elders approved. If not, no war. So we have a lopsided, very young masculine society, and the masculine elements are absolutely essential, indispensable. The feminine elements are. But in the fluctuations of time, no one particular time in itself can necessarily be that balanced. It's when we fluctuate through the course of time between rising and falling energies, many different energies all moving at one time, that we have a homeostasis, as it were, so that the average over time in itself is what gives us balance, even though any particular time may be imbalanced. How has our time been imbalanced in the last couple of hundred years? It has been with the deforestation, the poisoning of the earth, the suppression of women, the acts of cruelty, the warlike tendencies, the power and the dominance, and the weapons of mass destruction, as well as the many wonderful miracles that we made. But when we understand the feminine aspects of ourselves, both men and women, and then we can start integrating that into the societies we build and our nature. Jung had a lot to say about the animus and the anima that are both the masculine and feminine elements, both men and women, which he got from yin and yang. And so I think we're moving now into a time where we're not going to suppress the emotional depth and elements of ourselves, and it's going to begin right on the personal level. So I think that your book is helping us to solve a lot of problems, not just in within ourselves and in the personal relationships, but just basically society of ours overall, because we have to understand ourselves first, don't we?
And we do. And we have some huge social issues here that are not being addressed that I have been trying to address for the longest time. And that is, in my teaching with at-risk adolescent girls, I have found that a majority of the girls that I have worked with who are already in treatment homes for sexual abuse, a majority of those girls end up in jail and have their periods, which means that they are acting out when they are premenstrual because they are unaware of this severe hormone shift and the immune system being more compromised. And yet they are being labeled as juvenile delinquent, and they carry these labels. It's on their record. Well, unless they're adults, then it really stays on their record. But it certainly damages their adolescent years. Another example is women who are who hang out in the bars, you know, like blue. Anybody who hangs out in the bars, I'm not going to label them. That's right, I've been talking about not labeling, I'm not going to label. Women who hang out in the bars, a lot of them end up in jail and have their periods. I worked with many women over the years, and I'd say, alcohol over here and alcohol over here. It's two different things. You can't handle it during the perimenstrual. And they'd say, oh, well, no wonder we end up in jail every month and have our periods. That's really sad information where they're getting thrown in jail for disorderly conduct and disruptive behavior. Why? Because alcohol and drugs will affect a woman 10 times more during the perimenstrual. And here's another one for you, David. Timing of breast cancer surgery. This study was done in the 1990s that cites that if a perimenopausal woman is facing breast cancer surgery, her best chances of having a successful outcome lie on either side of ovulation versus during the perimenstrual. Oh, I mean, that should have changed medical guidelines for women all over the world. And yet the authors of the study couldn't get any media attention on it because we're so governed by money and profits. I mean, that for women to go into a doctor's office saying, well, I can't schedule my surgery for another 2 weeks because this is where I am in my menstrual cycle, would just be unheard of.
Yes. Absolutely. And yet
what,
the medical
doctors
should be the first ones to pay attention to that.
They should. They really should. Pharmaceutical companies should be paying attention to it for outcome on drug success. The Gardasil vaccine, the HPV vaccine, is another big issue that I'm involved in and have been for many, many years. And why? Because we're giving this vaccine to girls at the most fragile time of their lives, which is menarche, the time of first menstruation, when it is interrupting the neuroendocrine and immune system. And also we're vaccinating girls without regard to where they are in their menstrual cycle. And again, National Institute of Health studies cite that immunity is lowest during the perimenstrual. Now, really, why would you want to vaccinate anyone during the perimenstrual when your chances of having a serious side effect increase exponentially? And that's indeed what we're seeing with the Gardasil HPV vaccine. In fact, a doctor is so concerned that she wrote an article for the British Medical Journal citing that a 16-year-old girl went into early menopause after getting vaccinated with Gardasil. These are serious issues. You would think somebody in the pharma world would start waking up and start doing some of these studies and evaluations so they would have better outcomes on their drugs.
We can only hope. And by getting the word out and the message out, Leslie, you have a website where you have an enormous amount of research up there that's easy to find and to navigate on a great deal of various studies, not only from the use of drugs, but in understanding hormone changes, and you cite research from all over. What is the website that people can go to find out more about this?
It's holyhormones.com, and that's holy with an H, folks. It's sacred. And holyhormones.com, again, my book is Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle. David, you've been really gracious about having me on. Let me just say a couple more things. And
we have a good 5 minutes at least. I'm pleased to. Yes.
Okay. I need to address this issue of synthetic hormones. and that is synthetic birth control. And whether that is the pill, the IUD, implants, patches, anything that has a synthetic hormone. It's a steroid. Did everybody hear me when I said that? We just took Lance Armstrong down because he was using steroids. We've taken down baseball players because they're using steroids, albeit, you know, Lance was running a little drug ring there. But yet we've got millions of women around the world who are on steroids. That is going to affect their lives. That is going to affect their relationships. Steroids, synthetic hormones, estrogen, and we've got estrogen in BPA, plastic, household solvents, makeups, you name it, it's out there. This is all being transferred through the umbilical cord into our offspring, into our children. And our children are having severe hormone imbalances. As soon as they get out of the chute, let's just put it that way, that is making them more prone to anxiety, depression, enlarged breast cancer, prostate cancer. That's also hormone imbalance. I mean, these are huge issues, and our children are being exposed to them. These steroids are poisoning our environment. They are changing the waterways. They are mutating fish, and we are killing ourselves with synthetic hormones. We need to wake up, we need to smell the coffee, and it needs to be done now. Thank you.
You're absolutely right. And your work is not just the study of psychology and giving emotional support to women who want to know more about the changes that are going inside of themselves. It's based on a great deal of medical and physical research as well, corroborated by findings of carefully done studies. And so the physical evidence is out there, so we just have to look at this evidence and think what we haven't thought before and realize that if we keep advancing our understanding of this, we might catch up with the civilizations of long ago, which knew that and integrated that as part of their society. Here we are living in a separatist culture. We're separating all the different categories of sciences and not realizing how they're all interconnected, how all things are one, and categorizing and labeling everything. And if we understand a little bit more about this, we can really move on. Lastly, I want to thank you deeply for coming on and sharing your message with us, because it's a message that needs to be known. Leslie Carroll Botha, and understanding your mood, your mind, mood, and hormone cycle. Understanding your mind, mood, and hormone cycle is available on Amazon.com. It also can be found on her site, holyhormones.com, with an enormous amount of information. I advise you to go there and check out this book, written by Leslie Carroll Botha and also H. Sandra Chevalier Batik, and illustrated by Nicholas Batik. So, Leslie, do you have any parting words for us as we conclude our interview for tonight?
David, it's always a wonderful pleasure to be here. My parting words are we need to take the burden off of reproduction, off of women, and men need to share it. And we need to be accountable for what we are doing to each other, to the health of our planet, to the health of our children, and that means shared participation in reproductive control. Thank you, David. I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to the next time we talk.
So well said, Leslie. Thank you for edifying our listeners, and it all begins with listening. Listen to who you are with, listen to the voices and the changes within, and by all means, check out this book. I don't often go out and full-heartedly recommend books. I'm conservative about that. But when it comes to understanding your mind, mood, and hormone cycle, I fully recommend that you get it. You will not be sorry. Thank you for listening tonight. This is David Katzmeier for the Cycles of Change radio program, inviting you to tune in again next week. And thanks to Leslie Carroll Botha.